For that, thank you so much, Dustin. Man, when his first Sunday here, he just knew Stairway to Heaven, and that's the only song. And man, he has learned some things. And tell you what, his voice has developed. I like that a lot. You know, it's interesting if you look on the internet and look at some of the geology is what, study of rocks. What is music geology? Study of rock concerts. Okay, so if you study that, you'll find Mount Sinai, where they believe that Moses got the Ten Commandments. And at the top of Mount Sinai, I was telling our class this morning, it's all burnt. The top of the mountain, so the mountain is kind of a gray color. At the very peak, it's all black, like it was on fire. The Bible says when God came down to give the commandments to Moses, he came down in a fire. Kind of interesting, you remember? And Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God says, "No one has seen my face, you know, or you'll die." He said, "I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And then I'll let you see my goodness as I pass. And I'll proclaim my name." If you look at the very top, there are these two huge rocks or boulders at the very top of Mount Sinai. And there's been a stream cut a gap between those two pillars about the size that a man could fit in. "I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock." Isn't that amazing? You know, it's good when science catches up with the Bible, isn't it? And some areas they still hadn't figured it out, but the Bible's still true if science has figured it out or not. And I hope science finds me. I heard about this. I have to be careful. Well, I have to be careful. Okay. And so we're in Genesis chapter 12. Heard about this lady. She was dating a guy, and her parents said, "What's the guy look like?" And she said, "Well, he's got early American features." Wow, his face looks like a buffalo. So, but Genesis chapter 12. Here we are, Genesis chapter number 12. And our theme for the year has been building and rebuilding. And so part of the Christian life is building us, and so we can build others. And we can't help others if we're not in good shape spiritually. So we see in Genesis 12 here, we're introduced to a character that is key in the book of Genesis, key for the nation of Israel, and his name is Abraham. Abraham. Three different, quote, religions claim him as their founder. Islam claims Abraham. The Jews claim Abraham. And Christians claim Abraham. His name is mentioned in the Bible almost as much as David's. And you'll hear a lot of this. "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Three generations, but the first one was Abraham. We're going to talk a little bit about him and how that relates to us. So Genesis chapter 12, and notice these introductory remarks that God gives about this great man. And he was not great on his own. He was only great because God put his hand upon him. So notice, if you will, in God's word, Genesis 12, and let's get our phones on vibrate or on mute, if you will. Notice what it says. Genesis 12, 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," and that's what he called him. And you'll see in Scripture, sometimes someone will have a name, then after God meets with them, he changes their name. For instance, his name was Abram. Later on, God says Abraham. His wife's name was Sarai. Later on, God calls her Sarah. So just God meeting with us changes everything about us, even our name. And Scripture says we even have a new name up in heaven after we're saved. We sing that song, "There's a new name written down in glory." It's not only our name, but even in heaven, we're going to have a different name. So if you don't like your name now, good, you get a different one. It'll probably be Maher Shalahashbaz or, you know, something real interesting. But he says, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So God is about to use Abraham in a big way. But notice, it cost him something. He said, I want you to leave your land, what you're used to. I want you to leave family, who you're secure around. He says, you're going to have to leave some things behind if you're going to serve me. And is that not how the Lord often does it? Jesus said to the fishermen, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They left their father, they left their fishing boats, they left their business. It always costs you something, but the pay is out of this world. And so notice he says, leave father, leave lands. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will make. Notice it's a process. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. God said, I'll make you a great nation. When God starts working on someone, he works on them and in them before he works through them. So sometimes you're wondering, why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I having to go through this valley or this issue? Because God has to first work in you and on you before you're available to work through you. And so that's what he says. And he says, I'll make you a great nation. Notice when God gets through with us, we have a greater influence than we would have by ourselves. Abraham could have said, no, Lord, I'm not following you. I'm staying where I am. I'm not leaving anybody. I'm not giving up anything. And I'm happy where I am. And God would have used somebody else to form a great nation. So Abraham, you know, it's not a lot of people you meet who start a nation. You know, I think a little Johnny Esposito. I like that guy. Johnny Esposito, I like him a lot. He's Sebastian, you hadn't met him. He's a missionary to Cambodia. He's about this tall. He's this tall and says, we're the same height, Pastor Ray. I said, Johnny, no, you're here. He goes, look, we're the same height. You know, and it's almost like a salute. You know, he goes up. He said, we're not the same height. Ezekiel Salazar, Spanish pastor in Montecito Park in Ontario, he spoke at the Spanish conference last week. Same thing. He says, we're the same height. He's like 4'8" or something. I said, we're not the same height. We're the same height. Anyway, so God says, I will make of thee a great nation. Now notice the wording, I will bless thee. That ought to get our attention. And make thy name great. And he has a great name, Abraham. Abraham. You know, some of you right now, anytime we say your name around a group of people, it's a positive thing. God has given you a great name. A name that means something. It's not just on paper. Well, Brother Chris, most of us. Anyway, no, I saw him looking kind of funny. But that's what God has done with Abraham. You say his name, it represents something great. And then in verse number 2, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He was going to bless Abraham so he could bless. Get it? Blessed to bless. God has blessed us in America so we can bless others. God blesses us to become a blessing. So I'm going to speak on this subject for a little while tonight. Getting the blessings of God upon your life. Getting the blessings of God upon your life. Father, bless now the time we have. Give us a voice and a heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Usually when we say blessings, in Scripture says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But when we say the word blessings, we start getting these images of material possessions. Man, I've been blessed. Look at my new car. Oh, I am blessed. Look at our house. I am blessed. I got a raise. We think of money. We think of gifts. We think of personal possessions. That's what we usually think about. Now, God doesn't always think that way. Some blessings are unseen. Sometimes it's the peace of mind. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's a soul you've been burdened about that gets saved. Here's Brother Anthony and Brother Brett had a co-worker saved today. They've been working on that lady for probably over a year. And she said, man, I'm getting there. I'm not on the ark. And God was working on her. I brought her mother today. Her and her mother walked the aisle and got saved today. Hey, that's worth more than a new car. Because that's going to last for all eternity. So some blessings, some people see them. And sometimes you don't. Some blessings, they're eternal. Some are right now. And some blessings we have just because God is good and he gives to us. If you were born in America, you're at the top percentile of anyone on planet Earth right now. If your body is whole, you got two eyes, you have ears that hear, you have a mouth and a tongue that tastes, and you've got hands that function, and you have an IQ and an ability to do things. You ever wonder why you were not born severely handicapped and had to be in a home the rest of your life, someone else taking care of you? You ever wonder why you weren't in an accident like sometimes others are and you're paralyzed from the neck down, quadriplegic? You ever wonder why? That's the blessings of God, just a whole body, a whole body, a loving family, opportunity for education, the IQ that you have, the looks that we have. You know, not a lot of us are blessed like pastors are. And yeah, you say, pastor, that's why I can't look up at you. I just can't, you know, I get nauseous. I understand. A church within driving distance, a quiver full of children, hearing the gospel before you died. What blessings we have. A lot of blessings. If we stop right now, we are blessed beyond all measure, like the song says. I love the song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. I like the song, I have been blessed. I love all those songs, make me a blessing. Now, I want to say this, no economy or president or Congress or foreign powers can stop the blessings of God from falling on your life. No one can stop them. I love what Jabez said in the Old Testament. He says, bless me, O Lord, indeed. And that was his prayer. Bless me, O Lord. Indeed, that was his prayer. Esau, I love his cry throughout the book of Genesis. He says, bless me. Oh, bless me. He wanted to be blessed. You say, well, pastor, did this work for Abraham? Did Abraham get blessed? Was he a blessed man? Well, you tell me. He's the only one in Scripture called the friend of God. And guess who called him that? God. God looked down and said, billions of people, that Abraham, he's my friend. Abraham didn't say, God's my friend. God said that. Oh, that's pretty blessed. God listened when he prayed, Genesis 18. When Abraham prayed, God drew near and listened. He was a blessed man. God spared his son, Genesis 22. He told him to sacrifice him. He brought that knife up. God said, hold it. He spared his son. He was blessed. He was the grandfather of the Jewish race. He had an honored name, and God gave him the whole land of Israel. Some of you right now, you might say, well, pastor, we own our house. We own this little section. I'm sure it's a parcel number here in Napa or Fairfield, Vallejo, wherever you live, and you own a section of land. Abraham could have said, look, as far as you can to the east, far as you can to the west, north, south, I own all of that. God says, all this land is yours, Abraham. That's a pretty wealthy guy. Heard about a fella in Texas years ago, and he was bragging. How many of you hate Texans? Anyway, but you're always bigger and better and bigger and better. And so he said, he brought a guy to his ranch. He said, hey, as far as you can drive that way, I own it. Far as you can drive that way. He said, it'd take you 2 days just to drive across my property. And the guy looked at him. He says, I used to have a car like that. All right, you'll get it later. Tonight, you'll wake up. You'll just think it's so, so, so funny. Everyone wants to be blessed. Every mate wants a mate that's blessed by God. Every child wants a parent that's blessed. Every employee wants an employer that's blessed. Every church member wants a church that's blessed. So here's the message tonight practically. What actions can you take to ensure the blessings of God upon your life? In other words, what does God promise? You do this, and I will bless you for that. What is it? What are the commonalities? Boy, is that a big word. In blessed people. I want to give them to you tonight, and here we go. Number one, right crowd. Right crowd. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon is teaching his son Rehoboam. Chapter 1, first chapter about life, he says, watch your crowd. He says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they want you to come with us, they, them, we. It's always this crowd trying to pull you in with them so their guilt is less. And they don't feel as guilty in doing what they do. He says, be careful about that. When I moved here, I got an invitation to be a part of the ministerial committee or the ministerial meeting. What that was all the pastors in Napa getting together once a month to have lunch and spend time together. That was the pastors that didn't believe in the virgin birth. The pastors that did not believe the Bible was word for word God's word. That was those who did not have a soul winning outreach. Those who did not believe in salvation by grace through faith. I never went to one of those meetings. It's not the direction I'm going. I'm not better than them. I'm no better than them. I don't stand up and criticize them. I have nothing in common with them. You get around the wrong crowd and it rubs off on you. You got the flu and you want to help someone with the flu? Don't get around them and let your good health rub off on them. You don't have COVID and your friend has COVID? Don't get around them and hope that your non-COVIDness will help heal them. No, you're going to catch it. And you'll catch what they have. You want to be blessed? God says, don't get around the wrong crowd. You say, well, who's the wrong crowd? Anyone that's pulling you any different direction than God's perfect will for you. Anyone pulling you away from church, the Bible, soul winning, God, God's word, preaching, God himself, holy living, that's the wrong crowd. Now, sometimes we are the wrong crowd. Someone says, well, my kid is just always getting in the wrong crowd. Here's news for you. Your kid is the wrong crowd. And that's why he's attracting the wrong crowd. He may not be outwardly, but he is inwardly. Like that little rebel, that little boy, his parents said, sit down. He sat down. He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And sometimes that's how we are. And so God says you want to be blessed? Hang around the right crowd. Number two, meditate on Scripture. Meditate on Scripture. Brother Berto one day was getting off. He was plowing. I pulled up to a field, and he pulled his hat off. And you know what fell out of his hat? Bible verses. He said, these are my meds. I meditate on them. When I'm plowing, I pull my hat off, pull out a scripture, pull it back in the hat, and put it back on. And God says, I will bless those that meditate day in and day night. Ruminate, meditate the right thoughts. In the book of Genesis, it says, and their minds were on evil continually. Their imaginations on evil continually. Bad news, bad thoughts, no blessings. Meditating in God's word. Someone said that they're going to put all the social media avenues into one. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all of those, they're going to merge them into one. They're going to call it You Twit Face You. I don't know if that's true or not. Someone asked me, Pastor, you have Facebook? And I've said this, I want my face in this book. Amen. That's the best Facebook right there. Amen. Put your look, your face in this book, he'll put his look on your face. Every parent knows what we're talking about. You've looked at your kid and said, don't you give me that look. You know, when we get in this book right here, it puts a new look on us. I love that old song, and we don't sing it enough. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old book. Get the new look from the old book. get the new look from the Bible. Meditate on Scripture. And let me encourage you. I'm a news watcher. Well, just on the phone. I don't watch news on television, but I'll check the phone. And probably I'll watch too much news because it's all bad. I looked on it today. No one said souls got saved at a church. People got born into God's family. A marriage got repaired. A man was faithful to his wife till death do us part. You don't ever read that because that doesn't make the news. It's always someone's killing someone. Someone tortured someone. Someone said something. Now they found a body somewhere. You got to be careful. You fill your mind with all those things and you're not going to be blessed. Meditate day and night. There's some good news in this book. There's some positive things in this book. My voice is going quickly. Number three, here it is, to be forgiven. The Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Psalm 32:1. Want to be blessed? Know that you're forgiven. You say, Pastor, it's Sunday night. We're all here tonight. We're all saved. But if you're listening by way of internet, if you've never been saved, blessings start when you know that you're going to heaven. And I want to say this here too. After we're saved, we still sin. None of us are perfect. We probably sin multiple times every day. Little things we forget, and something we say, and something that's not accurate, and a little attitude, little that, little laziness. But God says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You can be right with the Lord and be blessed. Number four, give you this quickly, pray for others. Pray for others. And yeah, I'll take that. Thanks. Come on up, Brother Chris. Man, he's a good man. You want to be blessed? Bring the pastor water. Bring the pastor water. It's probably wine like last time. And I'll say, look at this. Look at this. Yeah, we'll see. If I start dancing, we'll know. Hey, thanks a bunch. Good. It's got a goldfish in it, Brother Steve, from Goldfish Sunday. The Bible says about Job in Job 42. You remember all the trials that he went through. At the end, Job 42, it says, and God blessed the end of Job's life more than the beginning. It said, for he prayed for his friends. You know when his trial stopped? When he got his eyes off of himself and all of his grief, and he started praying for other people. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, may this my motto be, that I might live for others, that I might be like thee. You wonder what Jesus' life was all about? Others. He's carrying the cross. He said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. It was all about others. You want to get the blessings of God on your life? Spend a little time praying for you, most of your time praying for others. Well, who do we pray for, Pastor? Well, we've got a lot of sick people around our church. We got people with cancer, got people having tests, got people getting older, got people with pain, people with all sorts of heartaches. We got brand new people just learning the Christian life, got new converts with a lot of baggage, got a whole table out there of missionaries to pray for. There's a lot of people to pray for. I've got unsaved neighbors I'm praying for. We met that vice prime minister of Israel. He's not saved. Moshe Bogi Yahalon. Very influential man, lost. I've started praying for him every day. Every day. I wonder if anyone's praying for that lost man. He ran the Israeli army for years. He's on the five top wanted list. They want to kill him from the nation of Iran. We're praying that he gets saved. There's a family in the church, a couple here tonight. Their son's unsaved as far as we know. I've been calling his name in prayer every morning. Every morning. I met a mailman. I think I told you this morning. Maybe I told someone. Did I tell the story? Okay, forget it. Look, I'm getting old. Pray for the pastor. The mailman did not deliver the mail. Okay, so here it is. Pray for others. Number five, give you this quickly. Have the right God. We won't spend much time on this. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What's that mean? There's only one God that fits this book right here. It's not Buddha. It's not Islam. It's not Muhammad. It's not a higher power from AA. There's only one real God that fits this book. And that's what it's talking about. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We wonder why America's been blessed all these years. We have the right God. China does not have the right God. Japan does not have the right God. Russia does not have the right God. We have the right God. And so that's a part of the blessing. You say, Pastor, you said that? What if China finds out? You tell them I said it. Okay, move on. They don't care what I said. Number six, Psalm 41:1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. When we are considerate to people that are poor, we're not talking about someone that just has three cars instead of four. We're not talking about, well, they weren't able to go to Disneyland with their whole family this year. Now they're down to every other year because of financial problems. That's not what we're talking about. But there's real poor people on this planet. We're not talking about, well, they've only got an iPhone 8. I mean, they don't have a 13. Man, we need to pray for that. No, no. We're talking about there's some people that still live in mud huts. There's still people with dirt floors. There's still people who are poor because they don't have Jesus Christ. And God says, if we'll be considerate of the poor, maybe meet a need, whether it's on the mission field, maybe it's somebody who fell on hard times temporarily, and we need to be a blessing. God says, I'll bless you for that. You keep your eyes open and see what you can do to help the poor. I will bless you for that. You wonder why our church, who's been through thick and thin for 40-something years, how an independent soul-winning church can still be alive in Napa, California. We've always had a bus ministry. We've always had a bus ministry. We've picked up people that many times could never give back to us. We paid the fuel when it was 35 cents a gallon, all the way up to almost $6 a gallon because there's no price on souls. We didn't get in the bus ministry because it's cheap, and we didn't stay in the bus ministry because it's expensive. We've tried to make the poor welcome. I guarantee you, this morning in the whole county of Napa, there was not a cross-section of people like we had here. There was not people that came in, sometimes educably slow. No one else is going to love them. Sometimes people of every shade, they weren't in all the churches in Napa. Those who don't own a car, those who don't know who, and we could go on and on and on. God has blessed us for that. He's blessed us for helping missionaries in poor countries. God blesses that. Not only that, this too, quickly. The Bible says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Psalm 84, verse 4. You want to be blessed? Get to church. Get to church. I don't know what it is, but in the deep south, people were raised churches Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Lee Robertson, Chattanooga, Tennessee, for years, he put a red light on the corner of their building. One of these, not a red light. What do you call it? Not a stoplight. Maybe it's called a stoplight. Well, it's got three colors. You know, it's got red. It's got yellow. Red means stop. Yellow means hurry up quick. Green means go. Okay, traffic light. He had a traffic light on his church, and they had it wired up to electricity where all three of the lights were green. He said, we're the church of the green light. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the services, 3 to 3. And he used to say it takes 3 to thrive. Sunday morning, it'll keep you alive spiritually. Go Sunday morning, Sunday night, you'll grow spiritually. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you'll not only survive and grow, but you'll reproduce yourself. Amen. 3 to thrive. California, the whole thought of church is 11 o'clock, one time a week. That's all we can do. It's going to take more than that. Sunday morning is the salad. Sunday night is the meal. Wednesday night is the dessert. Sunday morning's the pat on the back. Sunday night's the kick in the rear. Wednesday night, I don't know what it is. First aid, I don't know what it is. But we need it. During the pandemic, we were online. I never liked it. And just griping. Why? Because now we found out Dr. Fauci lied. China, we didn't know China had, anyway, just long story, read the newspaper, anyway. So, but somehow, You know, you may have enjoyed the tent. I never liked the tent. Especially when that water was flowing under the tent. Ladies, pick up your feet. And they're picking up their feet. And that river was flowing. And electrical cords laying in the water. I'm surprised we didn't all electrocute to death. Oh, pastor, we got the bleachers and in the choir. I hated it. I'm just being honest. I wanted to be in our church. We paid $1 million for that new building and couldn't even go in it. I felt like asking the government, won't you pay all our building payments since we can't go in our building? And I'm just griping. I'm not murmuring. I'm just griping. And I know somehow because of the government and we were scared to death over the COVID, and I know it was real, this and that, and I don't know how it all pans out. We'll figure it out up in heaven, but I know this. Somehow, it was easy to disconnect during that time. Because there was still a little Bible verse in the Bible somewhere buried underneath all of our masks, COVID masks, that said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You say, well, we were assembling. We weren't assembling online. I couldn't see you. Maybe you could see me on a picture. But it wasn't a whole lot of fun preaching to an empty auditorium hoping everyone was there. And after a while, we're eating toast. We're eating Pop-Tarts. Yeah, I can hear the, amen, amen. We're cleaning the house. We're doing dishes. We're running the vacuum cleaner during the choir special. We didn't have an altar to come to. We didn't respond to the invitation. Half the time, we didn't even have our Bibles open. You say, pastor, now you're slapping us after 3 years. Well, Pajama Baptist Church. Couch Baptist Church. But God says, I'll bless you if you just get to church. Maybe I'm still in church today because my mom said, get in the car. We went Sunday morning. We went Sunday night. We went Wednesday night. Well, it's dark. You know, it was dark way back in Adam and Eve's day. And Abraham was faithful and Abraham was blessed. I must hasten. I'm kind of 3 years late preaching against a pandemic, huh? Number next. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And that's Psalm 128, verse 1. Fear means respect. One thing that I believe gripes the older generation is this. There's not a lot of respect in our day. Used to, people would say, yes, sir, no, sir. Used to, when an adult walked in the room, younger people would stand. Used to, when the flag was raised, people would stand. To this day, if there's a ball game playing, whether it's Super Bowl or whatever, if they're playing the national anthem, I'm standing, my hands on my heart. I'm not laying down. It's just me. In the deep south, when someone passed away, they would turn headlights on as they were going to the cemetery, and every good citizen would pull their car over. And sometimes they would step outside of their car and take their hat off or put it across their heart, grieving with whoever was there. There was respect. Used to, people were okay putting their Bible down respectfully. Now, we just thought, hope it makes the fifth pew. Not a lot of respect. That's why we don't run in the church building, because this is God's house. It's not like it's spooky or something, but we want to respect the house of God. This is where we come to worship. It's where we come to pray. It's where we come to preach and to sing and to minister. You know, it's not a hide and go seek building. Blessed is he that feareth the Lord. Quickly, we must hasten. The Bible says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Psalm 22, 9. I believe that's why my daddy was blessed, because he was a giver. He had a bountiful eye. That meant he saw people's needs. He got his eyes off of himself. When the pastor, Brother Buchanan, moved to Baton Rouge, no one helped him with his moving expenses. He moved from Texas all the way to Louisiana. My dad asked him, his first week, he said, did they reimburse you for your gas to move here? Brother Buchanan said, I'll be all right. He said, did anyone pay for your moving truck? He said, we'll be fine. He said, you got like 1903 furniture in your office. Is anyone replacing that? I'll be fine. So my dad reimbursed him for all those sayings and remodeled his whole office. Why? My dad was a giver. He could see people's needs, and that's what he did. At my daddy's funeral, Gene Wolfenbarger, who had been an evangelist, he'd sing and he'd preach. He's in Joshua, Texas now, built a big church. He drove all the way from Texas to Louisiana for my dad's funeral and said, I'd like to say something. He said, if it wasn't for Tom Ray, I'd have starved to death. He said, I was preaching in all these little churches and the offerings were little and I had a family to feed and gas to put in my trailer to go to the next place. He said, if he wouldn't have slipped me money, we wouldn't have eaten. I thought, look at that. Him being dead, yet speaketh. Something about it. When you give to an individual that has a need, one thing about it, they will never, ever forget it. I was eating at Brother Bob Smith's house. I was a 10th grader. I was working on a bus route, using my car to visit on Saturdays on the bus route. J. Harold Smith, the famous evangelist who preached that great message, God's Three Deadlines, 300,000 people got saved under that one sermon. Quite a preacher in Arkansas. He was eating at Bob Smith's house, and when I started to leave, he shook my hand and says, Pastor bragged on you. I'm real proud of you, son. He shook my hand. He put $3 into my hand. That was, back then, 10 gallons of gas. Now, I think you need a cosigner for a gallon, don't you? You have to have a good credit score before you can gas up. And I'll never forget that. That's the first time anyone had ever handed me money. And I told the pastor, he goes, he's just that kind of a guy. He's a real generous guy. But that was 50 years ago. And I still remember it. No one ever did that for me when I was a teenager. You'll never know what some type of a gift does to meet someone's need. We must hasten. We're winding down. Here we go. Thanks for the water. Number next. A right attitude, God will bless. Matthew 5. You remember the be attitudes? You remember that? It's not do attitude. It's be attitude. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So forth. The right attitude. God says, I'll bless that. Now, I don't know if you're like me. Do you ever get a bad attitude? Okay, I'm looking over at some of the teenagers. Y'all ever get a bad attitude? One. Only one out of the whole group. Wow. Well, one's working on his attitude. The rest of them are lying. Okay. But you women ever get a bad attitude? You just kind of wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, you got an attitude. Well, I woke up this way. Well, look, turn the bed around. And so that way you'll get up on the right side of the bed tomorrow. Just kind of get, you know, it doesn't take much. It just kind of builds and something happens, and then the whole day's ruined. God says, you want to be blessed? Have a good attitude. I like being around people like that. I love it when Jerry Pertell comes here. He's always, here's what we're going to do for the Lord. I mean, a great attitude. Some people walk in the building and it just starts raining inside the building. The right attitude. Quickly here. And let's look at just one more passage. We're almost done. Luke chapter 14, if you will. Luke chapter number 14. And I want you to see this. And as you're finding that, God also says he'll bless faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. God blesses faithfulness. You may not have much to give. You may not have a lot of talents. But God says, I'll bless someone that's faithful. My wife went to that little dead church up in Maine. And I've been there, and I've spoken there. But she said, I couldn't play piano, I didn't sing great, but I could be faithful. She went nine years without missing a Sunday. Boy, oh, for those years again, huh? Some of us older people get the flu, and we're out. And it's tough. 9 years without missing a Sunday. God blesses faithfulness. Look at this one. We're heading down for the landing. Luke 14, please, and verse number 12. Luke 14 and verse number 12, and the Bible says, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper. Okay, look at that. All right, Bible scholars, help me now. That's two different meals, a dinner or a supper. Look at that. How many of you eat dinner late at night? It's dinner. How many of you call it supper? God says it's two separate meals. Look at this. There's breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper. See? That's why we're not healthy. We're supposed to have four meals a day. Look, there it is right there. A dinner or a supper. Oh, it was the Lord's supper, not the Lord's dinner. Oh, brother, if I was the governor, look, and if I was the governor, you would hate me. I know you would. Okay. So when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again. Hey, you gave me a favor, now I owe you a favor. You bought this time, I'll buy next time. He says, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. That's God's promise. What's he saying? Do something for someone who can never pay you back. Do something for someone who could never in their wildest dreams ever pay you back. He says, I'll bless that. I'll bless that. No ulterior motives. Well, if I'm nice to them later, no. Someone who could never pay you back. God says, I'll bless that. And then give you one last one. You said that before, Pastor. What God blesses long sermons. Okay. In James chapter 1, and this is it. James 1, verse number 12. Here's the last verse. I don't know if you're like me. I want to be under the spout where the blessings are coming out. I could use some blessings. I want some blessings. And if I do any of these activities, God has promised to bless me. This is his word. Notice James 1:12, I love it. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And this is not temptation to sin, it's temptation to quit. Or temptation to cease. Blessed is a man that endureth, holds up under. It's heavy. It's hard to carry. Man, I'm under it. Oh, there's pressure. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. God says, I'll bless you if you just don't quit. If you just don't quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Only the ones that hit the finish line get the reward. Only those that finish get the diploma and get to throw their hat up in the air and shout. You want to finish. We're all tempted to turn back. We're all tempted to quit. God says, I'll bless you if you'll just finish. If you'll just finish. I've given you, I think, 14 ways you can get the blessings of God on your life. Abraham had it, and God wants us to have it. Let's pray.